Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday, December the 25th broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Merry Christmas to you. I hope that you are having a great, great day. And, you know, I really am excited about Jesus coming to this earth. Like I mentioned yesterday, I don't always celebrate a single day and honor that. But I am certainly thankful that God sent Jesus. That's what we've been talking about for 2 weeks, talking about the Word became flesh. And I tell you, this has been a powerful series. I've kind of just summarized things. I haven't been as detailed as I did in this series. Today's going to be my last day to offer you this teaching on the Word became flesh. My wife says that she thinks that this is the best teaching I've ever done. She likes this more than any of the others. But I haven't been as detailed as I was in that series. There's actually 5 teachings in there, and I've only spent 2 weeks on this. And so it would benefit you to get that. But I believe there's also benefit to the way I've been ministering the last couple of weeks, just kind of summarizing things and giving the overall view and impression. You know, sometimes you can get so bogged down in the details of trying to figure something out that you forget the overall picture. When you're building a house or anything that you're constructing and you have blueprints, you'll notice that there's different sets of prints. One will be the overview of what the house is going to look like on the outside and things like that. But then you will have details, and you'll even have sometimes a certain area that'll be circled or something, and there'll be a more detailed view. And if you were to just draw nothing but the super detail down to the last nail and bolt and everything in it, and if you were to just only have that really, really detailed set of plans, you could lose sight of what the overall thing looks like. So you need both. There's times that we need to sit there and just go through and understand every little thing about a subject, but at the same time, we sometimes need to get a big overview. And that's what I've done for the last 2 weeks, is basically just give a major overview of the coming of Jesus to this earth, why it had to happen, why it waited 4,000 years from the fall of Adam and Eve, and why Jesus had to become a man. And I think it's been really, really good. Let me turn back over to Luke, and I would like to share some things here about the virgin birth of Jesus. We've already dealt with Luke chapter 1 down through verse 38, where Mary humbled herself and received the Word of God and conceived the physical body of Jesus. And today is, you know, it's the end of the series, and our staff has off today. Our helpline's not open. You can order things through the web. But today I just want to share something that really is not a major deal, but to me it inspires me about the faith that Mary and Joseph both had. And let me just say up front that this is going to violate nearly everything that you've ever heard or believed about this Christmas story and about Mary and Joseph, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. We got a lot of religious traditions. Like, I'm not going to try and shoot down all of these religious traditions around Christmas, but you know, the Magi, these wise men, didn't come to Bethlehem. They came to Nazareth nearly 2 years after the birth of Jesus, and there's just a lot of things that we have as tradition that aren't what the Scripture says. So anyway, let me go and deal with this one thing here in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 39. After all of this had happened, Mary humbled herself and conceived. In verse 39, it says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Now remember that when Gabriel appeared unto Mary, that he had told her that this is now the 6th month of pregnancy with Elizabeth, your cousin. And Elizabeth was an old woman. She was past childbearing age, but this was a miracle. And of course, Zacharias and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Jesus. And so Mary knew about Elizabeth. And of course, she knew that Elizabeth had been barren and that it was now past time for her to have children. And if this was true, that she was now 6 months pregnant. And apparently this was news to her because the angel is the one that announced this. You have to remember she was a cousin. That doesn't mean it was a real close relative. Plus, Zacharias and Elizabeth, as priests, were living down in Hebron, which was way south in the nation of Israel and quite a ways removed from Nazareth, which was on the opposite end of the country. I mean, and you got to remember, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. I mean, it is probable that she hadn't heard of Elizabeth being pregnant. And it's probable, just if you look at the situation of their day, plus the fact that the angel Gabriel announced this to her, if she would have already have known it, it would have been secondhand news. And I believe that an angel knows those kind of things. So I believe that this was news to her. And also, here's a major point. I believe that the pregnancy of Elizabeth was a major, major confirmation to Mary that all of these things that she had experienced were going to come to pass. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time trying to develop this, but I think most of us can recognize that for a young girl, possibly 17 years old, to believe, I don't care what you see, I don't care what happens, to believe that you are going to have a child without ever having a physical relationship with a man, that is one huge step of faith. And she needed some confirmation. And it says that as soon as she had received all of this, she arose with haste and went into the hill country and saluted Elizabeth. And let me just point out some things. I'll go into more detail a little bit, but there is no mention that she talked to Joseph. It just says that she arose with haste and left. I personally believe, and I'm going to give you some more reasons for this when we get over into the book of Matthew, but I personally believe that she didn't tell Joseph that she was pregnant. And just think about this. How would Mary have ever convinced Joseph that she was pregnant and that it was not from a man, that God is the one that got her pregnant? You know what? That's the kind of thing that they sick you in insane asylums for, loony bins. I mean, how do you convince somebody that you are pregnant but you've been faithful to him? I believe that there really, it would have been impossible. And also, it would have been problematic. If you turn back over to Matthew, I'm not sure how much time I'm going to have, but anyway, I'll mention if we have time, we'll go over there. But in Matthew's account, it says, let me just turn over here and read this. In Matthew chapter 1, as it's describing all of this, it says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Notice the terminology here. This didn't say that she told Joseph that she was pregnant, that this is how he heard about it. It says she was found with child. And how was she found with child? Go back over to Luke chapter 1. Immediately after the angel appeared unto her, it said she arose with haste and went into the hill country, into Judea, and went to Elizabeth. And we're going to read these verses about where Elizabeth greeted her, but she stayed until the birth of John the Baptist. It makes a very clear reference that it was the 6th month of the pregnancy when she got there. She stayed there 3 months until John was born, and then she came back home. 3 months into a pregnancy, you can see that a woman is pregnant. There are some signs and it's beginning to show. And so put all of this together with Matthew chapter 1 when it says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It appears to me, I'm not sure that I could be adamant with this, but it appears to me that Mary didn't tell Joseph what had happened, because how could you convince somebody that an angel came and spoke to you and the Holy Spirit impregnated you with God? I think it's impossible that she could have convinced him. And so I believe that she just got up and left. She was so excited over what the Lord had spoken unto her, and she wanted to see Elizabeth. She couldn't call her on the phone. She couldn't send an email. She couldn't send a letter. She just got up and traveled a few hundred miles and went to see her cousin, Elizabeth. And, of course, all the things that happened over there in Luke chapter 1 certainly confirmed and established the things that she had believed. It was supernatural. And when she came back after 3 months, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It was observed that she was pregnant. And that's the reason that Joseph thought to put her away privately. In the next verse, this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. According to the law, he could have stoned her to death. But you know what? He was a just man, and he loved Mary, and he was not wanting to make her a public example, so he was just going to give her a private divorce. You got to remember that in these days, when you were betrothed to a person, it was the same as marriage. They just hadn't consummated the marriage, but from the time that you were engaged, you were man and wife. There just wasn't the physical relationship until after the wedding ceremony. And so he was actually married to her according to their customs of the day, and he was going to give her a private divorce and just put her someplace and take care of her and allow her to have the child somewhere else. And look at this in verse 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." So, putting all of this together, I believe that Mary immediately left without telling Joseph what had happened, because there was no way that you could ever convince anybody of this. And she went to her cousin Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth saw her, she immediately, the babe, leapt in her womb. It had been prophesied that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. And it appears that when Mary walked in and greeted Elizabeth, the babe leapt in her womb, and it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's when the Holy Spirit entered into John the Baptist. Little sideline here. This is something I mentioned a few months ago when I was teaching against abortion. But this is another verification that a child prior to being birthed and outside of the womb is considered a human being by God, because God doesn't just fill tissue with the Holy Spirit. He filled a person. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit and leapt for joy in his mother's womb. That shows that a baby prior to being born, while they are still in their mother's womb, can have joy and experience joy. And today, science has verified this. They've taken sonograms and they show babies responding in pain when needles and things are put in there. They show babies responding to things. They are a live human being. And so when Mary greeted Elizabeth, immediately she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth said this out of her mouth, out of Luke chapter 1, verse 42. "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now again, remember, they did not have a telephone. They did not have emails. They didn't have Western Union. They didn't have mail service. There was no way for Elizabeth, who lived at the very bottom of the nation of Israel, to know what was going on with Mary up in Nazareth, which was way north of Israel, hundreds of miles separated. And yet when she walked in, immediately she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she began to prophesy and say that she is blessed among all women in the fruit of her womb. In other words, talking about her being pregnant. Nobody. I don't believe Mary had told Joseph or anybody else. There's no record of it in Scripture. And again, I think that the logic of her trying to tell anybody what had happened to her, it would have been impossible. And since she hadn't consummated the marriage with Joseph, she could have even put her own life on the line. She could have been killed, stoned to death for being unfaithful to Joseph. So there is no indication that she told anybody. I can see the logic of her not telling anybody. And she went to Elizabeth, and before she could even say anything, Elizabeth talks about her being pregnant, mentions that this is the mother of my Lord, which is talking about that the child Mary was pregnant with wasn't just from a man. This was God, Emmanuel. And for the people who were raised in this Jewish culture, they knew the prophecies. Mary knew exactly what Elizabeth was saying. Elizabeth was talking about the Messiah coming. Can you imagine what kind of a confirmation this was to this young girl, Mary, that this was God? And of course, the way Mary responded after she heard all of this in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And she went on praising God. I mean, if there was any reservation, if there were any doubts on the inside of her, I guarantee you they were taken care of right here. And so she stayed with Elizabeth for approximately 3 months until it was time to give birth to John. And then she went back home and was found pregnant 3 months into the pregnancy. She had been gone for 3 months. You know, prior to that time, maybe Joseph and her saw each other every day. Maybe they lived so close to each other. Maybe she was under the supervision of her parents to such a degree that he could have been pretty secure that she hadn't had any other relationship with a man. But she'd been gone for 3 months. And then she comes back and she's 3 months pregnant. You know what? That just opens up the door for all kinds of accusations and things. And let me say this, that if Mary would have told Joseph what happened, and then he had a dream. Notice that it wasn't a vision or something that while he was awake, like it was with Mary. This was something that happened to him in a dream. And when he awoke from the dream, he went and obeyed it. How many times have you had a dream that may have been really real to you, but when you wake up and you realize it was a dream, immediately, it doesn't matter how real it was when you were asleep, when you're awake, all of a sudden you realize that, you know, this was a dream. How much of this was real? Was this really from God? Is this something that my pizza caused me to dream this, or was this from God? When you experience something in a dream, it's much more subject to doubt and interpretation than if you'd have been wide awake. And let me just say that if Mary would have told Joseph about that she had this experience and that the angel appeared to her and that the Holy Spirit took the word and impregnated her, and if Mary would have told Joseph that and then he dreamed it, it would have been easy for him to say, "I know why I dreamed that. Mary put that thought in my head." But if Mary didn't tell him a thing, which is what the scriptures don't say she said anything, and again, I think, how would you convince your fiancé that you are now pregnant by the Lord and not by a man? I don't think that she did tell him, and if she had have told him, it would have prejudiced him. He would have thought that this dream came because he was already thinking on these things. But since she hadn't told him, this was just a bolt out of the blue. I mean, it was from left field. There was no way that he would have ever have dreamed of her being pregnant by the Holy Spirit without it being God. And I believe the very fact that she hadn't told him when he got this revelation and came and shared it with her, then of course she could confirm it. She shared about what Elizabeth said. And both of them were able to take a huge step of faith to believe that this was really God. Now, of course, Mary, it was a step of faith for her, but just think about Joseph. Man, this is a major step of faith. Joseph was a pretty powerful man of God. You know, we read things in the Bible like this, and we've heard this story since we were a little kid, and it's grained into us, and we hear it and don't think very deeply about it because it was something we learned when we were little kids, and we sometimes grow up and never analyze it. But this is one of the greatest miracles associated with the birth of Jesus, that two people would trust God and believe God for a virgin birth. This is a major deal. Both Joseph and Mary had to be some pretty strong, powerful people operating in faith. Man, there had been a relationship with God. This isn't something that came to people who are carnal and weren't seeking God. And you could draw all kinds of comparisons from this. There's a reason why some people conceive miracles and have miracles and others don't. You know, I often talk about March the 23rd, 1968, and where I had this experience with the Lord, and He just changed my life. And for 4.5 months, I was just caught up in the presence of God. And, you know, I don't always tell everything just for time's sake, and I'm trying to make that, I'm just using that illustration to illustrate something. And sometimes people have thought that God just came and touched me and there was no rhyme or reason to it. But you know, the truth is that about 18 months or 2 years prior to me having that relationship, I got to thinking that I'm graduating from high school. I've got to start making decisions about where my life is going. And one thing I knew was that God had a purpose for my life. I didn't know what it was. I hadn't really given any thought to it because prior to me graduating from high school, my life was planned. I knew I had to finish high school. And so I was just a typical kid going through high school and having a big time with my friends and doing things, and I wasn't serious. But during the beginning of my senior year, I began to start seeking God about what am I going to do with my life. And then I actually started college, and I was nearly through 1 year of college when I had this experience. So it was nearly 2 years period of time, at least 18 months period of time, I had been seeking God big time. And I didn't know how you found the will of God, but I knew that it came from God, and I figured it had to be in the Bible. And throughout my senior year in high school, I'd go from about 9 o'clock at night until 2 or 3 o'clock every single morning. Even though I was going to high school, I would stay up until 2 or 3 every morning just reading the Scriptures. I read the Bible through multiple times. As a senior in high school, I went and bought me a Matthew Henry commentary set. I don't know how many volumes it was, multiple volumes. And I read every one of those things. I was studying the Word, not even knowing what I was looking for. But I figured if it came from God, it'd have to come through the Bible. And you know what was happening? It's like I was teaching earlier in this week. The Word of God is a living Word. It's an incorruptible seed. The Word was being planted in my heart. And there's a reason why I gave birth to a miracle, March the 23rd, 1968. There's a reason why I had this experience, and it's because of that Word coming alive. I can see that same thing here with Joseph and Mary. I can guarantee you this wasn't the first time they'd ever had a relationship with God. They weren't people that were rebellious towards God. You can prepare your heart. You can make yourself receptive to a miracle. And this is what I've been talking about for 2 weeks, is the Word became flesh. How you can get the Word of God to come off of this page and come alive on the inside of you. You can give birth to a miracle. And man, Christmas is just a great, great way of making that point, how Jesus came to this earth and became a man for us. Today's my last day to offer you this teaching on the Word became flesh. Our offices are closed today, but we do have our website up and running. You can go on there and get this, either download it free, or you could request those materials over the website. The information's right there on your screen. Please take advantage of this today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original 5-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call.
Let me remind you that our offices are closed today because of Christmas, and we've given our employees the day off, so you won't be able to call our helpline, but our website is up and running. And remember that today is my last day to offer this CD set, and I also have two different DVD sets on The Word Became Flesh. This is my wife's favorite teaching. She thinks it's the best one I've done, and it really is powerful, and it will help you. So remember, today's our last day to make this offer. Our offices are closed. You aren't able to call, but you can go to our website 24 hours a day, and you can request the materials right there, or you could actually take these materials and download them. Our web address is right there on your screen.
We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. We're so pleased that you've joined us for this Christmas holiday broadcast. In honor of that holiday, we've given our employees the day off. There are no operators on the helpline today, but you can go to our website, even on holidays, and order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. You may also write us and request ministry materials at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
The number one thing that you can do for change in your life is to begin to exalt God's Word, to read it, to meditate in it, to begin to let God's Word and the instructions that are in God's Word provide direction for your life, to begin to start analyzing every area of your life, your marriage, your job, your recreation, your health. Everything that you do, let the Word of God begin to start speaking into your life and make adjustments based on what God's Word says. You make God's Word the foundation of everything you're doing. And I can guarantee you, and I mean this is a money-back guarantee, you do that and your life will change dramatically.